Let's look together at Psalm 42 and 43. I guess if I would have thought I would have put off the illustration of the deer feeding right out here last week until this week, it would have been a little bit better. But nonetheless, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. I'll read Psalm 42 and 43 together, not because I am suggesting that they've missed it in splitting them up, but I think you can see the similarities. Really, there's three separate verses here. Psalm 42 includes two of the verses, and they all three end with the same refrain. Chapter 42, verse 5, why are you in despair, O my soul? Hope in God. Verse 11 of 42, why are you in despair, O my soul? Hope in God. And verse 5 of chapter 43, why are you in despair, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. In thinking back to Sunday morning when the Israelites have just come out of the amazing rescue from the Red Sea and they have just finished singing a song praising God for that deliverance, and they walk 3 days and they're thirsty, longing for something to drink, they turn and complain to Moses because the water was bitter. It wasn't what they were expecting. And so we see them looking inward or looking temporally rather than looking at God. And they end up in terrible despair. The benefit of the Psalms is the experiential aspect from which they're written. This is a real life scenario from a real person who actually lived, who is experiencing the depths of emotion that are here penned for us. I mean, King David, no doubt, is writing this after being chased from the throne, either by Saul or by Absalom, doesn't really matter who chased him from it. He's on the run. He's separated from the people of God, from the house of God, from the dwelling place of God. He's out in the wilderness, separated from everything that's familiar to him, separated from God's people, from God's house, and in one sense, in a very real sense, from God himself. And when circumstances for David are difficult and situations are tough, we see him going through a short series of helpful, concrete steps. And I don't want to spend a lot of time looking at Psalm 42 and 43 this evening, but what I hope to do is to quickly give you a few quick steps that are clear here from the Scriptures of how to walk through the process when we find ourselves in the midst of these difficult circumstances, when we are despondent, emotionally down, spiritually drained. We see from the psalmist how we should respond as well. I mean, just ask yourself now, when you are spiritually dry, when you're spiritually thirsty, what do you do? I fear for many of us the answer is one that Samuel Rutherford answered for us very well. We dwell far from the well and complain but dryly of our dryness. But it's not so with King David. He's in the wilderness. He's separated. But there's a longing there. A longing to be not just with God, but with the people of God. I find one of the most helpful aspects of these psalms is seeing the emphasis on corporate worship, on the gathering of God's people. Now, your argument may be, yes, but that was the Old Testament times when God had determined only to dwell in a house that was made with hands, or in the temple, or inside the Holy of Holies. To which I would say, let's read Hebrews 10 together, who said, since we have so great a confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he inaugurated through the veil of his flesh, since we have this great high priest in Jesus, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And to all of that, we say, yes, that sounds just like New Testament religion. And it should. The writer continues, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And still that fits our mentality of individualized living, holding fast. Let us consider, this one not so much. This one goes right along with what we see happening in King David. Verse 24, Hebrews 10, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. And we are quick to stop there and say it's really, really important for us to be gathering together. For David, it was life or death. It's not that way for many of us. But the writer of Hebrews gives a staunch warning here. If we go on sinning willfully, this is the very next verse, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment. For David, he sought and received real benefit from the fellowship of God's people. He longed to be with the people of God. Now, some of us may argue, as I mentioned earlier, but this is the New Testament. God doesn't dwell anymore only in the Holy of Holies, but in the hearts of every person. Yes, but he's commanded us still to gather together and to worship him in spirit and in truth. We have the promise that where two or three are together, he is there in a greater degree than when they are not together. He has chosen to manifest himself. Now, I am in no way doing away with a private individualized salvation or sanctification or time alone with God and his word or prayer. But alongside that, I want to stress that just as important as that is, we will be stunted, drastically stunted and paralyzed in our growth spiritually if we are pulled out and separated from the body that God has put us in. For David, it was hugely important. I mean, I'll point out the verses momentarily, but we can feel it in him. That's what he's separated from. Not just God. He's in the wilderness. You think David didn't know God was with him there in the mountains in the wilderness? He was very aware of that. But he longed to be back in the temple, taking part in those ordinances that God had ordained his people to be a part of. He felt distant from God. He was dry. That's why he begins the psalm, as the deer pants for the water brooks. I mean, it doesn't take much for us to imagine a group of wild dogs or coyotes chasing a deer right on its heels, mile after mile through the thick woods. Then finally, the deer comes to a cliff. There's a spring running down. The coyotes are in the distance now, but he can hear them still. And he's longing for that refreshment. Not just to get away from the enemies, but longing. He can see the refreshment, almost taste it. That's David. He can remember what it was like. He can see it almost. I want to mention three specific things here. When we are distant from God, when we are emotionally, spiritually despondent, depressed, and in despair, what should we do? First, we'll do what David did. Talk to yourself. Now that sounds like crazy advice for someone who's already depressed. But that's what David does. In the refrain that I mentioned earlier, why are you in despair, O my soul? David turns and asks a question. Basically saying this, what in the world are you thinking, being in despair? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. Have you forgotten who he is and what he's done? I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. He's come time and again to the rescue. And David here is reminding himself, talking to himself. This is not a habit for many of us. Rather, we are more prone to listen to ourselves than talk to ourselves. And when we listen to ourselves, the doubts mount. And the second guessing abounds. I don't mean just whispering sweet nothings to yourself. I mean proclaiming gospel truths, believing what God has said, claiming and living as a result of what God has promised, because he himself is faithful. He has been again and again. So when you're down and out, when you're struggling spiritually, take a step back and do the unthinkable. Talk to yourself and say, self, not really, but you understand, what are you thinking? Hope in God. Get your eyeballs off your navel and look at him. Look at who he is. Consider what he's done, which is the second point. Not just talk to yourself, but remember what God has done. Look at 42 verse 4. These things I remember. I pour out my soul within me. This is what he remembers. I used to go along with the throng. Not only was I a part of the people, I was a leader among them all the way to the house of God, and we worshiped him together there. We worshiped him with our voice. We were full of joy. We were full of thanksgiving. The whole multitude was keeping festival, obeying him, doing what he had commanded. Part of talking to ourselves has to be remembering what God has done, remembering his promises. Remembering that we are recipients of the new covenant of Christ's blood, where at the end of that covenant, he said, I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. When was the last time when you were spiritually in the dumps that you said to yourself, God has promised to do me good. And he who promises is faithful. Not only remembering his promises, but remembering the remarkable deliverance that we've experienced because of him. He rescued us from a domain of darkness, pitch blackness, full of sin and misery and death and hell. And he transferred us not to a semi-gray area where we could make things out in some hazy, foggy way, but he transferred us all the way to the kingdom of his beloved Son, to the Son of his love, out of death into life, out of darkness into light. When you're down in the dumps spiritually, emotionally, self, God has rescued you. He has held out the staff of Moses, as it were, and parted the floodwaters of the Red Sea so that you could walk across dry shod. And in the process has destroyed every single enemy of yours. Even the last enemy, which is death, has been destroyed. When Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he says, death is yours. It belongs to you. It's for your good. It is a result of sin, but God uses even that. Remember his promises, remember your deliverance and his constant kindnesses. When the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us according to his mercy, not according to anything that you've ever done or ever will do, but according to his mercy, he saved you out of the kindness of his heart. Remember his promises, his kindnesses, and your deliverance that results from his great kindnesses and him making good on his promises. So when you're spiritually in despair, when you're dry and thirsty and longing for more, preach to yourself. Talk to yourself. Remember, remind yourself what God has done, who he is, what he's promised, his constant faithfulness in the past. And then the third concrete point that we see here, displayed primarily in the 43rd Psalm. Pray and sing. Initially, the prayer is asking honest questions. Why have you rejected me? Now, there's a way for the psalmist to ask that in a sarcastic way. God, you say all these things. Why in the world have you rejected me? That's not the psalmist's heart. The psalmist is saying, why, God? This is what you say in your word. Why does it seem like you've rejected me? He's not questioning God. He's not accusing God. But he's honestly asking the right questions and he's willing to accept God's answer. We see it in 42 in verse 9 even. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why do I hurt so bad that it feels like my bones are shattering inside of me because of the reviling from the adversaries? They're saying, where is your God? God, they're mocking you. And David is affected deeply as a result of God's name being taken so lightly. So in prayer, asking honest questions and being guided, prayer that's guided by the truth of the Scripture. Send out your light and your truth. Send the Scriptures that tell of your character, that make evident the promises that you have for your people. And with the truth, send the light, so that we might understand it and walk by it. Send help understanding your word in the person of your Spirit. Let them bring me to your holy hill. Again, there's this longing in the prayer life of David for corporate worship. Let them bring me to your holy hill. That's where you are with your people, God, to your dwelling places. That place where you are dwelling with your people, David says, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to live. One thing I've asked from the Lord, to meditate in His temple, to dwell on His glory, to live with Him and with His people forever. Again, I'm encouraged by the emphasis that David has on this longing to be with the people of God. And I think in our culture, we are so prone to taking it for granted. And maybe rightly so. Maybe it's because time and again we've shown up on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night and left thinking, I could have done without that. It wasn't really all that beneficial. I could have spent that time better reading a good biography or the scriptures for that matter. And it would have been far better spent. But David didn't feel that way. I wonder if our times together might be far more beneficial if there was far more preparation coming to it, rather than merely taking it for granted that we were just going to come as sponges and suck everything from up here. What if we came prepared with our own heart to offer praise and worship and grace? What if we came prayed up, preparing for the gathering each week, expecting God to do something, to answer the prayers that we ask? I mean, when we pray on Sunday morning, the things that we're asking for, people to be saved, for God to show up, I wonder how much expectation is in our heart. I wonder how surprised we would be if He actually showed up one week. Not in a small way, but in a dramatic, real way, and people were converted. Amazingly, I think the preparation within our own souls for our corporate gatherings would add to them immensely. Now, I don't want you to hear that I'm despising the day of small things. I think the Lord has helped us immensely and continues to. Week after week, I continue to go home with two major feelings on Sunday. One, I want to quit. And two, I'm surprised again how much God helped. And so then I'm kicking myself. Why didn't you expect that? You know, He continues to be really gracious to us. So I mentioned pray and sing. So I mentioned the praying, asking honest questions, prayer that's guided by the Word, asking for help, the light of the Word to understand the truth of the Scriptures, and the praying, longing for corporate worship. The second part of that third point is singing. Verse 4, I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre, that musical instrument, I shall praise you, O God, my God. Now, what kind of songs? Not just any song, but gospel songs. Or we could succinctly say it in talking to yourself kind of songs and remembering what He has done kind of songs. Back to point number one and point number two. Those kinds of songs. Songs that are proclaiming truth. Singing about the goodness of God. Remembering the kindness that He has shown us in Christ. Singing those kinds of songs. The fact is, we are going to face difficult days. Spiritually. There are going to be dry times. But there's no reason for us to give in to dwelling far from the well of Christ and complaining but dryly of its dryness. There's no reason for us not to get up and make haste and drink deep from the fountain of living waters that has been provided for us in Christ. And that will happen by us telling ourselves the truth again and again, reminding ourselves of the truth that is in God's Word, that He's for us, not against us. Remembering what He's done on our behalf, that He's made promises, that He's made good on those promises, that He's rescued us from a life of misery, suffering in hell forever, and allowed us to be kings and priests to Him forever. And praying. Honest, open heart, open mind, praying before Him, begging Him to hear. Prayer that's guided by the truths of the Scripture, asking help from on high and understanding the Scripture and even praying, longing to be with the people of God and praising God in song, primarily songs that talk about the gospel and all that Christ is for us. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. May our answer continually be, in answering ourselves and in answering each other, hope in God. May God help us to do that. Amen.